All right, so we're going to the book of Matthew. I'm all done embarrassing, probably, for a little while. We're going to the book of Matthew. We're going to the book of Matthew. Joel, could you grab some Bibles? And Kara, will you help grab some Bibles and spread them out over there? I have my sister in town and her daughter and her daughter's friend Kaylee. And so I promptly put my niece to work because I'm her uncle and I can tell her what to do, so it's all good. I was gonna put you to work, but I thought I've known Kara a lot longer. I should probably stick with what's safe. I was pretty much there when she was born, and it's not true for you. So we're going to the book of Matthew. Here's while these amazing people are passing out Bibles. Let me give you guys a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of what has been going on and what is going on currently. Basically, in the book of Matthew, starting in chapter 5, Jesus gathers up some disciples. He starts with, people that he knows very well, and over the course of time, more people show up. And he starts into a lesson. And the basis of the lesson is this. This is what it looks like if you follow me. And we've talked about this in the past, and we'll talk about this continually in the future. Jesus isn't about rules, which I'm very excited about. Aren't you guys excited that Jesus isn't about rules? Yeah, because what are rules for? Rules are to be broken. Like, that's why we have rules, is to break them. Jesus isn't about rules. Jesus is about a different kind of way of thinking. And so one of the things he does is he sets up a target. And he says, this is what you need to aim for. This is what it looks like when you're doing it right. This is the target. Another way to think about it is this is the mirror. And so if you look in the mirror, you see yourself. But if you look in what Jesus describes, the mirror, you see yourself in reflection of Jesus. And the question is, do you look like him or do you look like you? So those are the ways that Jesus talks about these kinds of things. And we're going to be getting into Matthew chapter 6 and in a minute. What page is that on in the Blue Bible? 672? Page 672. We're going to be getting into that in a minute. But basically, there's a bit of a shift in this section in chapter 6 where Jesus starts to talk about things a little bit differently. And we'll describe that as we go. The words of Jesus, the Messiah, in chapter 6, starting in verse 1, he says this. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. When your Father, who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let's pray, okay? Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus and that he came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross in our place for our sins so that we could be with you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to do that for us. And we thank you even more that you gave us instructions on how to live. Not that we have a bunch of rules, but that we have an idea of what you want from us and know that when we obey these things, our life will be fruitful and we will be healthy and well and full of joy. So I pray that you reveal the meaning to our hearts tonight. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me go through this just a little bit at a time for you, because I think that Jesus Jesus was a pretty smart guy. And when he says things, the things that he says, not only do they endure, right? Because, you know, this is some 2,000 years later and we're still studying this. So they're enduring. But also, we see that when people follow these things, you can look throughout history, when people follow these things, they're full of peace and joy. And when people don't follow these things, you see all kinds of difficulties and trials and tribulations. And, you know, basically you have to walk out the door and down the street about 100 yards, and you can find people who are miserable. They're just miserable. And this whole county, this whole place is full of people who are sad and lonely and depressed and angry and miserable. And I'm not miserable. I'm happy. I'm full of joy and peace. And I shared with you guys a little bit. I've had a day. I mean, it's been a tough day for me. But I'm not depressed and I'm not angry and I'm not bothered. I'm full of peace because Jesus is with me. So let's see what Jesus has to say. He says this: be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So in Jesus' day, in Jesus' culture, there were these super religious folks. And they wore big hats and they wore special robes. And when they walked down the road, people would call them special names and treat them with respect. And there was a certain amount of dignity that went with the position. And when it came time to help the poor, because these were righteous folks, they would do it like this: well, you're poor, so here's some money. Go buy yourself some food. And everybody would look at them and they would feel all proud and excited that they had helped the poor and fulfilled their duty. And Jesus is saying, you guys are so twisted. You have got it all upside down. The issue is not about you feeling proud of yourself or about you putting on a display for your friends and how good you are and how righteous you are. The issue is that you need to be generous to people out of your love for God and your regard for humanity. And the problem with this is we all do this all the time. We're nice. This is one of the things that guys do especially. We're nice to someone. Like, we go out of our way to be nice to someone. Why? Because the girl that we really like is standing over there. And we're trying to impress her. Like, I wonder if she's going to watch. Look at this. I'm going to stand up for this wimpy kid. Watch this. You know, and then you protect some poor kid who can't do anything on his own. Why? Because then she goes, oh, isn't he so sweet? And the guy's like, yes, I am sweet. I'm kind, and you should let me take you out on Friday. And so this is how, I mean, we do this all the time. We do this all the time. It's not just guys. It's girls do the same kinds of things. Girls who want to impress their girlfriends, or girls who want to impress their boyfriend, or even sometimes it's, you know, girls that want to impress, don't tell anyone that I said this out loud, impress their parents. Like, if I do my chores and then a little bit more, my parents will be so excited and so happy that they'll probably let me go out this weekend. Right? I mean, not that you're manipulating your parents, but you recognize that if you do some act of beautiful kindness, your parents may be more willing to allow you to do something they may not have otherwise. And what Jesus is saying is, if you're going to go out of your way to do something kind for someone and your motives are to impress people, your reward will come from people. But here's the thing that we don't necessarily understand, that we don't get. It's like passed and over our heads. There's this thing that's impossible for us to grasp because our brains are limited. It's called eternity. And in eternity, Jesus talks about these rewards that we can't even comprehend. these things that are beyond our imagination that are going to be so flat out amazing, we can't even begin to describe them. And so often we think of heaven as the really good days on earth. Heaven's going to be like that. And I've said this before, and I'll keep saying this. Heaven is not like a really good day plus a little bit. That's not what heaven's like. Heaven is not even comparable to what goes on the earth. Heaven is so far above and beyond what we can even think or describe. It's so far past that that God didn't even try to describe it in the Bible. Because any description we could put into English would not compare with the reality of heaven. How could you possibly? It would be like trying to describe the internet to a colony of ants. Like what? Ants don't speak English. Okay, you're starting to understand what I'm saying. Right. We don't speak God's language. Like, the words that he would want to use to describe heaven would not even be English anymore. It's that far. It's like we don't even get it. It's so much better. It's so much better that to say better is an insult to how amazing heaven will be. I really believe that with my whole heart. And when Jesus says this, at the second half of verse 1, he says, if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. The people he was talking to had an understanding of what he was saying. You will have no reward from your Father in heaven was a big deal. And it should be a big deal to us. Like, if we go out, like a while ago, we made these blessing bags. Some of you were here that night and some of you weren't. But we put together these blessing bags. And what we did is we gathered things like soap and shampoo and help me out. What else did we put in those things? Socks, and we did some hand sanitizer and things. And we put them into these bags. And we did that because we know that there are homeless people who have a great need. And there are homeless people in the city, and they have a great need. And so look what it says. Chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. So if we had put together these blessing bags with the pure intent of impressing each other, that would have been absolutely what Jesus was talking about. But here's the thing that we don't get. Like, we step right over the top of this. Look at the way Jesus says this. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men. Jesus doesn't say, if you do some acts of righteousness. That's not what he says. He says, you who are my followers, this isn't optional. You will do acts of righteousness. It's not open for debate. There is no question. We don't wonder, should we be doing things that are righteous? No. He skips that. He doesn't even address it. He goes straight to the motivation. When you do it, this is what should motivate you. So this is the real question that it comes down to. Are you interested in impressing men, or are you interested in impressing God? Because men are easily impressed. You can impress girls. I mean, boys impress girls doing the stupidest things. Girls are super impressed. Watch, I can do push-ups. And the girls are like, look, he's so strong. I'm like, he's doing push-ups. Seriously, fifth graders can do push-ups. Let's not be impressed by push-ups. Let's be impressed by something that's impressive. I can dribble a basketball. Right? But always, so many times this has happened. I'm with a group of teenagers, and we're on the beach. And the first thing that happens, all the guys, they start climbing the hill. Why? They're climbing the hill like, and they're all doing this. is she watching? Right? Because we're trying to do, we're showing our bravery and our manliness and our strength, and we're super impressive because we can climb, for heaven's sakes, by a ladder. So what are we doing? What are we doing? When we do our acts of righteousness, we ought not be trying to impress people. If we impress people, then that's where our reward will be. But if we impress God, if we can impress God, now we're getting somewhere. Look, I didn't do that because I was trying to impress a girl. I didn't do that because I was trying to manipulate a situation. I didn't do that because I wanted an earthly reward. I was nice to that person because they're a human being and because God says, love me and love people. And so I went out of my way to be kind. But I didn't make a big deal about it. I didn't put it on Facebook. I was nice to somebody. I didn't tweet it. Oh, you guys don't have Twitter here because we're like in the dark ages. But this isn't what this is about. We're not about trying to impress people. Because if you impress people, that's your reward. You will have impressed a person. But if you, which isn't that hard apparently. It's not that big a deal. I was in Kelseyville High School the other day, and I was sharing some things from my heart and about faith and this journey that my family and I have been on. We started in Washington, and we come down here, and God provides for us, and we don't have money, and God still provides for us. And it was just talking about faith and stuff, and I had a half an hour, and the time was running out, and literally I had like 2 minutes left, and I had basically nothing to say, and there wasn't enough time to really have a discussion. So I just put my shoe up on the desk, and I said, aren't my shoes cool? And people are like, yeah, so that's how hard it is to impress people. What you need to do is buy cool shoes. Game over. You're the winner. Impressing God, however, a little bit more difficult. A little bit more difficult. God has high expectations for us. High expectations for us. So let's see what Jesus wants, because we're human beings and we have needs, and he understands that, and we have desires and he understands that. But we miss what it means to be impressing God. So this is what he goes on to say in verse 2. So look with me in chapter 6 and verse 2. So when, everybody say when.
When.
Say like you mean it. When.
When.
Good. So when, not if, when you give to the needy, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. So that means when you're interacting with your close friends, you're still not talking about the amazing thing you think you did. And by the way, Christians, look at my face. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have confessed his lordship over your life, you will be doing these things. You will. That's God's expectation. It's not open for debate. You will be performing acts of righteousness. You will. Whether it's with your parents or with your friends or with the weird kids that everybody's mean to, but you're still nice to them. Or whether it's bringing money for Dane and Limber, you will be doing these things. In fact, let me tell you a little story. Just on Sunday, I had two different people come to me and say, do you have kids who may not be able to afford to go to Acquire the Fire? I said, yeah, I probably will. And both of them, individually, this wasn't at the same time, this was two separate incidents, said to me, if you have kids that need to go, that can't afford it, let me know and I'll sponsor one. $120, just write a check. Why? Because they love God and they love people. And they didn't wait for the opportunity to jump up on the stage and say, I'm going to give money to teenagers because I'm awesome. Right? But you know people who would. We would. We do. So, let's pick it up. In verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So one of the things that unhinges this whole idea is we have an unbelief in the fact that God's always with us. I can prove it to you. What would happen if you had a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you were on a very special date, and you were starting to get to spend some alone time, and all of a sudden, I walked into the room? Would anything change? It would be weird. My wife says it would be weird, and she's right. Like, all of a sudden, what would happen? Like, there'd be this space between you. Whatever touching was going on would stop going on. Because PC is weird. Well, I'm not going to, I mean, we're not going to do that while you're here, because that's, like, that's weird. Weird. Right? So when I'm there, your behavior will change. But here's what we'd fail to recognize, okay? The Holy Spirit is with you everywhere. And at the end of days, you don't answer to me. At the end of days, you answer to God. And he goes with you everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere, 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 everywhere. He is always there. There is nowhere you can go that he isn't there. Nowhere. And yet, somehow we think in our minds that if we do something really amazing, really powerful, something that impacts somebody else's life, if we give them money and it's a sacrifice for us, if we give them our time listening to them and comforting them, if we give them our talent, maybe they need help in some way and we don't really have the time, but we sacrifice our time because they really need the help and we go there and we help and nobody knows about it, we think somehow that we're gypped, that we've been robbed, because we can't boast in it. I just thought of a joke. Here's the joke. Couple of angels sitting in heaven. You know, they hang their feet over the clouds and dangle them just because it's fun. And they're looking down, and there's this pastor who had skipped church and left the Sunday morning sermon with somebody else. And he had gotten in his boat, and he was fishing. And the one angel says to the other angel, shouldn't we go down there and, like, I don't know, blow up a storm or something so he's miserable? I mean, he's skipping out on God here. And the other angel goes, no, watch this. Pastor catches a fish, monster fish, reeling this thing in, pulls it in, gets super excited. He's got this fish. And the angel, the first angel is like, what are you doing? He's having a great time and he's skipping out on God. The second angel goes, who's he going to tell? Apparently I need to draw you guys a map. He can't tell anyone because he's skipping church. So who's he going to brag about his fish to? Never mind. That was stunning. Wow. So, apparently not so much with the fishing stories. But isn't that how we are? As soon as something cool happens to us, what's the first thing we want to do? Tell someone. We want to tell someone. And we miss out on the fact that God is always, always, always with us. And he's celebrating your victories with you. And he's excited about the fact that you're being kind and generous and humble, even when nobody else knows. Even when nobody else knows. So let's read this further. Verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We're going to pick it up from there next week. But basically, I want to say this. There's a balance here that seems to be hard to grasp. And I want to talk about that just a little bit. So the balance is this. Back in chapter 5, in verse 13, Jesus talks about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he says that you are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And what he means is that you, Christian, are meant to bring light where there is darkness. And you do that in a variety of ways. You do that by walking righteously. You do that by not using the same language that your friends who don't know Jesus use. Because you all have friends who don't know Jesus and they all use language you ought not use. And as soon as you aren't using that language, you guys already know this. If you aren't using that language, then they know. Like, how come you never say that word? How come you don't use that language? Why is that different about you? And you're the light of the world. And people say, well, how could it possibly be that you want me to be like this illuminating Christian that all of my friends see and I'm supposed to change the world, but at the same time, I'm supposed to be secret about it? How can I be public about it and be secret about it at the same time? It doesn't make sense. And so let me help you understand this. Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to impress? If you love people, you're going to share the truth with them. You're going to share the truth with them. Sometimes it'll be hard, sometimes it'll be easy, but you're going to share the truth with them when you love them. And the truth is the gospel, but the truth is also, when you say that, it offends me, or I'm not going to cut class because education is also important, or whatever it is when you tell the truth. And sometimes people will ridicule you for telling the truth, and sometimes they will praise you for telling the truth. But you have to tell the truth, because the question is, who are you trying to impress? If you're sharing the gospel to impress your peers, for one, that's a foolish way to do it, because people are almost never impressed by the gospel. Usually they're irritated by the gospel. So, you know, get over it. There you go. So let me talk about giving just a little bit, and then, you know, we're going to land this plane. Giving within Christianity has earned this sort of label. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of these people called televangelists, but there are these preachers that show up on TV, and basically everyone thinks that they're just there to get money. And I'm going to be honest, some of them are, but also some of them are not. Some of them really love Jesus, and some of them really love money. And I don't know which ones are which. I'm not here to judge televangelists. What I am here to say is this, that I don't want your money. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't want your money. But listen to this, because if you don't ever hear anything else from me, hear this one thing. God wants your heart. He wants your heart. That's what God is after. That's what he's always been after. That's what he will always be after. He wants your heart. So the question you have to ask is, what do I put between me and God? and for lots and lots of us, it's money. It's money. Sometimes it's people. There are people who put their girlfriend in front of God or their boyfriend in front of God. People who put all kinds of other things, put sex in front of God, or they put popularity in front of God. But lots of us put money in front of God because it's more important to have that thing than it is to be connected with Jesus. And God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. In the Old Testament, God instituted a policy called a tithe where he expected his people, he did this all the way back in Genesis, he expected his people to bring their first and their best to him. And somewhere along the line, that first and best thing turned into 10%. Okay? It turned into 10% in the Old Testament because, well, there's a bunch of reasons that you guys don't really care about. But here's what you do care about. God doesn't care about 10%. You know, there's like church people that are going to fall out of their chairs. What? God doesn't care about, of course God cares about 10%. No, he really doesn't. He doesn't care about 10%. He really doesn't. Two things. One, God wants your heart. And two, we put money in front of God. It's a sacrifice to give. We give money because it's what's important to us and because it promotes kingdom work. But we don't give 10% because God etched in stone somewhere, thou shalt give 10%. That's not what God's about. God's about equal sacrifice. In fact, Jesus tells a story about this, and he talks about a widow woman who puts a very small amount of money into the box. And it was a huge sacrifice for that woman. Was it 10%? I don't know. Jesus didn't care either. He didn't say it was 10% for that woman, and it was 10% for that rich guy. He said it was a sacrifice for her to give. So the question is, what is a sacrifice for you to give? How are you showing God that you love him more than things? You love him more than things. You love him more than the cash in your wallet. You love him more than the food on your plate. You love him more than the person sitting next to you. You love God first and God best. That's what he wants. And we give money, but we also give time. We also give talent. We give what we have because God gave it to us to begin with. It was always his anyway. It was always his anyway. So that's why we give, and that's why in church you see offering plates go by. It's not about 10%. It's about giving out of a sacrificial obedience to God. I hope you guys get that. This is another one of those things that trips people up. And if you or your friends who don't know Jesus are confused about church and always asking for money and all that kind of stuff, please, please, please talk to me. Text me, email me, send me a Facebook message. I'm available. I get texts all the time. I reply. For those of you that have texted me, you know, I reply. Because the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. So, here's a question. It's a rhetorical question the first time, and then the second time I'm going to, you know, expect you to answer it. What does God expect us to do? That. He expects that from us. What does that look like? Well, it's a bunch of different things. So let's tell me what it is. What do acts of righteousness look like? Just shout them out. High fives. Okay, high fives are good, right? Non-threatening, engaging. He expects giving. Yes. In fact, he talks about three things specifically right here in chapter 6. If you want to read about the three things that Jesus cares about a lot. You can read that on your own, right? But we already talked about one. We talked about if you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And when you pray, don't jump up and down and tell everyone you're praying. What else? Acts of righteousness. Come on, shout them out. Shout them out. Caring. Volunteering. Absolutely, volunteering. What else? We laugh, but it's so true. Reaching out to sad, lonely people. Yeah? What? Carrying groceries for old ladies or old men. I know of some guys that literally washed a woman's car the other day, not because they wanted accolades, but because they have love in their hearts and they chose to serve in that way. Yeah? We have a bunch of widows in this church. Bunch of them. Selflessness. Yeah. Right. Going out of your way. Going out of your way to be helpful. You know, it can be a huge thing that we don't even think about sometimes. Watch this. If you just take what you're doing and you stop doing it, it's not a sin to say, you're more important to me than this conversation. I'm going to put my phone down. Tell me what's going on. And you know how important this is? It's so important that if your friends did that for you, it would be a big deal. If your friends did that for you, it would be a big deal. What else? What kinds of acts of righteousness? What kind of things does God look upon with favor? Obeying whom? Obeying God, yeah, for sure. Who else? Yeah. Parents. Authority, yeah. Yeah, teachers, good. Yes. Obedience is a big deal to God. He appreciates obedience. What else? Respect for others? Absolutely. There are a couple that you're going to go, oh, duh, I knew that. Two more that you're going to say, of course, we have to do those things. Yeah, we have to share the gospel. Absolutely. Humility is, oh, man. If we could get that one right, life would be so much better for us. If we could be humble about the way we go about things, life would be so much better for us. Forgiving, that's a huge one too, forgiving. If we could forgive, yeah. So here's how we do these things. Here's how we do these things. One, we spend time with God by prayer. And two, we spend time with God through reading his word. I mean, simple things, things that we talk about every week. Why? Because they're that important. They're that important. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're gonna sing one more song because I like singing. And if you don't like singing, I'm very sad for you. So why don't we have the band come on up, and I'll pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that we're not always good at this. I confess I'm not always good at this. There are so many times when I do these kinds of acts of righteousness and then I look for ways to get patted on the back. I look for accolades from men. And I just ask, Lord, forgive me for that. Help me to love people in a way that doesn't require me to get accolades from them. But help me to look to you to say, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. I pray, Lord, that you give each of us that desire in our heart to be pleasing to you, to have a desire to put you first in our hearts and first in our lives, first with our money, first with our time, first with our talents, first with our treasures, first with the desires of our heart. Help us, Lord, to put you first in all things. We give you glory. We pray in Jesus' name.